Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribadadari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribadadari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. চাই গরিব হরিব হরিব নিতাই গর হরিব জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরব্রজকাচার্য Asatara Satar Shri Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Shila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parabraja Kachara Jaya Asatara Satar Shri Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Paramsikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadar Har Shri Vasudi Gaurav Bhaktavinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mayapur Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Ganga Mayi ki jai. Jamuna Mayi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopi Balabha ki jai. Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Shri Gaura Nitai ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Guranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva
Narottamam.
Chaiva
Narottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasa Dev, the author. Nasta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naistiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So you, did you say 13, this verse? Okay.
5, 10, 13.
Maharaj Rahugana meets Judd Bharat. Text 13. Is there any nothing, no board, so I just read it. Makes it easy for me. Because nobody can tell if I'm chanting it. Anmata mata jadavat. Let's see. Anmata-mata-jadavat-svasam-stam gatasya-me-virachit-kit-shitena artha-kriyan-bhavata-shikshitena stabda-pramatasya-cha-pista-peshaha. You could repeat. Anmata, madness. Mata, a drunkard. Jadavat, like a dunce. Don't hear that word too much anymore. Years ago, they used to have a kid sitting in a corner with a dunce hat when they were misbehaved in school. And that's nice. Sva samstam. Situation in my original constitutional position. Gatasya. Of one who has obtained. Me. Of me. Vira. O king. Chikit shitena. By your chastisement. Artaha. The meaning or purpose. Kiyan. What? Bhavata. By you. Shikshitena. By being instructed. Stabda. Dull. Pramatasya. Of a crazy man. Cha. Also. Pista Peshaha. Like grinding flour. Translation, my dear king, you have said, you rascal, you dull, crazy fellow, I am going to chastise you, and then you will come to your senses. In this regard, let me say that although I live like a dull, deaf, and dumb man, I am actually a self-realized person. What will you gain by punishing me? If your calculation is true, and I am a madman, then your punishment will be like beating a dead horse. There will be no effect. When a madman is punished, he is not cured of his madness. Purport. Everyone in this material world is working like a madman under certain impressions, falsely acquired in the material condition. For example, a thief who knows that stealing is not good and who knows that if it is followed with punishment by a king or by God who has seen that thieves are arrested and punished by the police, nonetheless steals again and again. I'll read that sentence again. For example, a thief who knows that stealing is not good and who knows that it is followed with punishment by a king or by God, who has seen that thieves are arrested and punished by the police, nonetheless steals again and again. So he basically sees other people doing it and he still doesn't learn and he knows it himself. He is obsessed with the idea that by stealing he will be happy. This is a sign of madness. Despite repeated punishment, the thief cannot give up his stealing habit. Therefore, the punishment is useless. Read the translation again. My dear king, you have said, you rascal, you dull, crazy fellow, I am going to chastise you, and then you will come to your senses. In this regard, let me say that although I live like a dull, deaf, and dumb man, I am actually a self-realized person. What will you gain by punishing me? If your calculation is true, and I am a madman, then your punishment will be like beating a dead horse. There will be no effect. When a madman is punished, he is not cured of his madness. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesa Sanivadi Pashtachadhi Satarane. Okay, so I just want to go back a little bit here. Where does he start talking? Okay, so this is this king Rahugana is chastising Judd Bard because he's not carrying the palanquin properly, and there was ants, and that's why he didn't want to step on the ants. Pretty much, Judd Bard, his whole life, he never revealed what his real identity is in the sense that he's a self-realized soul.
In this instance, he's revealing it to this king, to preach to this king. And of course, the king realizes that this is not a ordinary person, and I made a mistake by chastising him in this way. Well, a few things from this verse is a madman. I mean, this is nice that in even in our Western culture, if someone commits a crime, they murders people or does the worst possible things, if he's mad, they don't put him in jail because it's like, what is the use? This is what it's saying here. What is the use of punishing a madman? He's not going to learn. You got to try to help him. So even in our so-called culture, we do have that principle. If somebody is mad, if somebody is crazy, you know, there's a, you know, they plead insanity. You know, I committed the crime by reason of insanity. I was crazy. Of course, a lot of people may say that and try to get away with it, but they have experts, doctors to figure out if they really are crazy. But if they really are nuts, then what's the use of putting them in jail? That doesn't help them. So they try to put them in a hospital where they can treat them and maybe correct them, maybe get them better. But it is interesting that in Vedic culture here, Judd Bart is giving that same argument. What is the use? Punishing a madman doesn't help. He doesn't learn anything from it. So here, Judd Bart is now preaching, I believe, for the first time. Previously, he just accepted anything and everything, whatever Krishna wanted. But here, maybe Krishna has given him an opportunity to preach to this king. And he's certainly taken advantage of it. Now, I don't know if you guys, for my own sake, I'd like to read just what Judd Bart has said. Let me just make sure this is not Judd Bart. Okay. The great Brahmana Judd Bart said, "My dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, there are not simple words of chastisement. These are not simple words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin. The body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong, and these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me. But because they relate not to me, but to my body, there is no trouble at all." So this is the first thing. The king chastises him, and then he responds like this. What, the king is getting some realization. This is, I shouldn't have said anything. This is a special person. Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material coverings of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things. But I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny. nor anything else you have mentioned. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king and that I am your servant, you should order me, and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary, and it expands only from usage of convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and that I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? My dear king, you have said, first of all, even in this, what you the servant, the master, just order me if you think this. There's four people carrying this palanquin. What do you think the others are thinking? It's like, oh, look at this guy. What does he think he is? He's, you know, what could they be thinking? They're certainly not realized souls. And he's chastising the king in front of these other servants and just putting him in his place. And it's like really risky. Of course, it's not risky for him. He doesn't care what they do to the body. I'm not the body. He's so self-realized. But this is, if you try to picture this when it's happening, it's pretty heavy. What is the king going to say? And Judd Bard keeps going to the verse we just did. My dear king, you have said, you rascal, you dull, crazy fellow, I am going to chastise you, and then you will come to your senses. In this regard, let me say that although I live like a dull, deaf, and dumb man, I am actually a self-realized person. So I think he can realize this from the previous things he had said. So, but now he's confirming it. What will you gain by punishing me? If your calculation is true and I am a madman, then your punishment will be like beating a dead horse. There will be no effect. When a madman is punished, he is not cured of his madness. So, anyway, Judd Bart is preaching to the king. This is also, we can see it's just Krishna's arrangement. And the whole story of Judd Bart, I'm sure you already heard all this. But ultimately, he is a self-realized soul. He did everything he could so that he doesn't become illusioned again. You know, he previously was the king of the world, and he became attached to a deer and then died and took a deer's body but remembered his past life. He wasn't just a king of the world. He was a king of the world who renounced the whole world and just went to do his worship, his puja, his meditation. And then somehow a baby deer would have died if he didn't help it. He helped it. The baby deer became attached to him. He became attached to the deer. And he didn't want to make that mistake again. So in this life, well, when he was a deer, he would try to stay in the forest where there were sages, and after they finished eating, he would eat their remnants, and he would listen. He could listen to what the sages were saying, and he was just hearing and chanting the life of a deer. In the next life, he took birth as a son of a Brahmin, and in that birth, he remembered his previous births, and he didn't want to make the same mistake again of getting attached to anything. So he acted as a dumb man. They tried to teach him to eat with his right hand, he'd eat with his left hand. He just couldn't learn anything because he didn't want to get involved in this material world at all. He just wanted to think of Krishna. So, that's the highest thing. We think about how, I have to do this and I have to do that. Really, our real business is to think of Krishna. If we think of Krishna, even on Sankirtan, we have to try to think of Krishna, distributing books or whatever we're doing. Actually, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee. Always think of me. In all your activities, remember me, think of me in all your activities. So we have to act generally when we're acting, we forget about Krishna because we're concentrating on what we're doing. But somehow we're supposed to do both. Arjuna is fighting for his life in the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, that's, we got all these people trying to kill you. And he has to fight them back, but at the same time he has to be thinking of Krishna. Not thinking of, I got to do this. If you're constant, so it has to be a way to do it. There has to be a way to fix your mind on Krishna and do your activities just as well or even better than if you were trying to focus on doing those activities. So always think of Krishna. We have to try to think of Krishna. Even on like book distribution, we go out and try to sell Prabhupada's books. We have to be thinking of Krishna. If we think of Krishna and try to do it, we'll have a better result, even though initially it may not be better. But if we're determined, he was determined. He didn't get affected by, you know, I gotta, you know, by anyone else. He was determined not to fall into Maya again. Prabhupada said about us Westerners, you Westerners are not, well, first he said how he's always afraid of falling into Maya. You know, so when we think of Prabhupada, we think, how could he fall into Maya? And he also said how the Westerners are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. We're not afraid of Maya. We can flirt with Maya. We can, you know, have some fun with Maya. We should be afraid of falling into Maya. Judd Bart was afraid of falling into Maya. And he lived his whole life in that fear of Maya. Not fear of being killed, not fear of anything happening to this body, afraid of falling into Maya. So if we're that way, then we don't fall into Maya. Prabhupada never fell into Maya. Judd Bart didn't fall into Maya. He lived his life just, I don't care what happens, I'm not going to fall into Maya. Right now we have our priorities. First we've got to take care of our body. That wasn't Judd Bart's priority. His priority is to take care of the soul, who I am. I don't care. This body is meaningless. It's useless to have so many bodies. So he is a self-realized soul. He knows who he is. We, to some extent, are self-realized. At least theoretically, we know who we are. But we still think that we're these bodies. If we knew we weren't these bodies, we wouldn't try to enjoy in any way this body. What's the use of enjoying it? We'd have to do things to keep the body and soul together because we have this body. It's our duty. But other than that, and the purpose to keep it together is to serve Krishna using this body. So here, he spent most of his life, or all of his life up until this point, in just doing what's best for the soul and not and neglecting the body completely. I mean, he's still neglecting his body, but he didn't even bother trying to preach to anyone until this point. So we have to try to at least learn some things from Judd Bart, and I think one of the main things is to fear falling into Maya. He knew how easy it was to fall into Maya from his previous life, or two previous lives ago, where he renounced everything. He was so serious about spiritual life. And still he became attached to a deer. Just, you can't give in. You give in a little bit to Maya, and then it, next time it's a little more. It's a little more until she's completely got you. You can't make any deals with Maya. And Maya is, she's a servant of Krishna. She's a great devotee. But her job is, she has a thankless task of making sure no one goes back to Krishna unless they're qualified. She actually likes when you don't listen to her. Almost like a parent who's, you know, telling the son or daughter something just
sarcastically, okay, yeah, do it, you know, whatever it is, you know, touch the fire, okay, touch it, you know. They don't want him to touch it, but they want it. That's the only way they can learn. So sometimes we have to learn from our mistakes. It's not the most intelligent way to learn. First-class learning is by hearing. You just hear and you learn. Like we're talking about the thieves here. You hear that stealing is wrong, it's bad, it's no good, and if you steal, you get punished. That's, and then you learn, I'm not going to steal. I shouldn't do that. Then someone else hears they shouldn't steal, and they see. They didn't really learn from by just hearing, but they see someone else stealing, they see someone else getting arrested, and they think, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. So then they learn. And then the third class is they hear, they see, and then they steal, and then they get punished, and they learn. And then the fourth class is even after getting punished, you still don't learn. So if they hear, they see, they get the results of it themselves, and they still don't learn. So we have to try to learn first by hearing. So even if our knowledge is just theoretical, you know, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Okay, that's theoretical. I haven't realized that. I don't see myself, what my relation is with Krishna. But even if it's just theoretical, if I act on that theoretical knowledge, which is coming from the bona fide soft source, guru, sadhu, and shastras, then I get the same results as if I was realized. The same results will be there. So I have to try to act on it. And like Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, fearless. He's fearless. He's not afraid of anything, but yet he's afraid of falling into Maya. But there's nothing else that he's afraid of. He just doesn't want to be in illusion. And because of that fear of falling into Maya, he doesn't fall into Maya. But he's not afraid of anything. Abhay Charan, fearless for having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna. If you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Okay, so anyone have any questions first before comments? Questions? Okay. Any comments?
I have a comment that's unrelated.
Okay, something. We'll try that.
Have you ever noticed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, it says in there, it's got a Sutta Goswami is teaching Maharaj Parikshit, and he says that it says the first step in Bhakti Yoga is Jnana Yoga. And he says that what you want to do is take the Omkara and synchronize the Omkara with your breath. And he says you also want to practice pranayama. See, I found that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was interested because I've never heard anyone in ISKCON say that meditation was a legitimate thing. You know, like they say Omkara is the same as...
Okay, there are different type yoga. Prabhupada explains it's like rings on a ladder. There's karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the top one. Now, you can go to all these different yoga systems to come to bhakti, or you can just come to bhakti. You don't have to do all these others. Yeah, so you don't have to do pranayama. You don't have to do jnana yoga to come to bhakti. You can just start with bhakti. By the mercy of the representative of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada. By his mercy, we can go directly.
Well, after being in the temple for...
I mean, there's even a Gyata Sukriti, where unknowingly engaging in devotional service, in serving, not even knowing. You just do something, you just
do something nice to, for some devotee. You're that's your beginning, unknowingly engaging in devotional service. Or our neighbors in Hartford, they bought some watermelon. They had an extra watermelon, and they gave us a watermelon. They don't know they're doing bhakti. They just think they're being nice neighbors, you know. But that's the beginning of bhakti. What?
The servant of the servant.
Servant of the servant. Yeah. But so even unknowingly you can engage in bhakti. So knowingly you certainly can engage in bhakti. But you have to hear. You have to hear first. The hearing is the first thing. Then there's chanting. I mean, we put emphasis on chanting, but the chanting can't be there unless there's the hearing. You first have to hear. Otherwise, how are you going to chant? So hearing is the most important. You have to first hear. So if you hear from the right source, then and you follow that, you can engage in bhakti without doing anything else. I mean, that might be jnana in one sense. It's knowledge. You're hearing these things. But it's not jnana yoga. So you don't have to go through these different steps. Just go to bhakti, stick with bhakti. Just get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's representatives. And then you can also go back home, back to Godhead. Without, and you may have done, it may have said you've done these things, because it says anyone who's starting, is doing bhakti is already done all these different types of yoga, already done, but not necessarily this lifetime. You know, in previous lifetimes, you could have done these things. Or it's also by the mercy of the guru. He says, I have created your good fortune. So we don't know what our past lives were, but either we were engaged in devotional service, or we just met the pure devotee, and just by that meeting, everything has changed. I mean, it's a personal representative of God. You know, when you meet the personal representative of God, and you do something nice for that person, that representative of God, God is pleased. And it doesn't matter. There's no rules for God. He can do anything. He does anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it. It's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I would like to help you, but the rule says I really have to wait till you burn off this karma. So I wish I could, but it's out of my control. He's in control of everything. He's the one who makes the laws. He could break the laws. He does break the laws. He doesn't even follow his own rules. He makes rules of, I won't fight in this war, and then he fights. He can't be trusted. Even he said, but his devotees can be trusted. Whatever a devotee says will happen. And he even says in the Bhagavad Gita, declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. So if he declares it, people might say, oh, he's just a liar. He just doesn't always tell the truth, so we don't know if we... But his devotee declares it. Now, if he tells the devotee to do something, the devotee does it. So if the devotee declares that anyone who surrenders to Krishna will never be vanquished, then Krishna has to keep that promise. He doesn't have to keep the promise of his own promise. He doesn't care what people think of him, but he does care what people think of his devotee. He promised not to fight in the battle. Bhima promised to kill Arjuna unless Krishna breaks his promise and fights. He's going to kill Arjuna. So Krishna wasn't going to let Bhima kill Arjuna. So he broke his promise to protect his devotee. Prabhupada says Krishna would rather be known as Bhaktivatsala, or the friend of the devotee, than the great moralist who never breaks his solemn vow. Prabhupada's words, the great moralist who never breaks his solemn vow, just so grave, so serious, no happiness, but I kept my vow. He doesn't care about his vow, he cares about his devotees. So he can do anything, and he could cure us and free us of all our karma for billions of lifetimes. You can get free from all your karma by chanting his name one time without offense. You can become free from more sins than you can commit by chanting his name one time without offense. That's how merciful he is, and especially in the form of his holy name. So we have to try to avoid, we say the 10 offenses in the morning, we have to try to avoid those offenses while we're chanting. And eventually, if we keep doing it, we'll get purer and purer, and we get free from all sins. Circumambulating Tulsi, you get free from all sins, even the sin of killing a Brahmin. Of course, you can't kill a Brahmin and think, well, I'll kill you, and then I'll just circumambulate Tulsi. That's a greater offense than even the killing itself. Okay, any other comments or questions?
I like the point where you said that Maya always keeps a check on us so that we don't get close to Krishna. I was reading this story. It's not a Shastric story, but an imaginative story. There's this Brahmana who chants his Gayatri at the right time every day. Morning 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening. Does things very meticulously. So one day he keeps his alarm and then still doesn't wake up. It's like 5:45 and he's still on the bed. And Maya Devi comes and wakes him up. Like, you have to chant your Gayatri at 6 o'clock, you're still sleeping. So he gets up and he runs into the bathroom, he takes a shower, chants his Gayatri, and he's so peaceful. Then he starts thinking, why is Maya Devi waking me up? I mean, she should be happy that I overslept. Then he went and asked her, why did you wake me up? I mean, it would have been victory for you if I overslept and broke my Gayatri. So she smiled and she said, oh, if you broke your own record, then what's going to happen is that you're going to feel bad about it. You're going to come in front of Krishna, cry, oh, I made a mistake, and you'll become humble and you'll get Krishna. But now that your record is intact, your pride is high, and you'll never get Krishna.
That's nice. So whatever way to keep you from... Yeah, it is a fact when we start doing good. Well, there's also the saying, pride cometh before the fall. When you start doing good, then you wind up falling down. Not start doing good. You could do really good. When you start thinking that you're doing good, I'm really doing good. Especially when you compare how you're doing to this other guy. He's not doing nothing. Then you're really finished. You're going to fall down, or you're already falling down. So somehow or other we have to just keep fighting, even when we lose the battle. Just don't want to lose the war. So even if we become proud and then we become humble and then we become proud again and then we become humble again, but we have to try to learn from it. It's just so wonderful how Prabhupada was so successful because he didn't become proud. He never thought he was the doer. He gave his spiritual master and Krishna all the credit. He didn't think he did anything. They did it all. And he kept going and kept going and he kept doing more and more and spreading Krishna consciousness more and more. And he never took the credit. If he takes the credit, start thinking, wow, I'm doing really good, that would be the end. And so we can do the same thing. It's not like Prabhupada was, we do know Prabhupada was special. But any of us could surrender completely and and just keep doing so much for spreading Krishna consciousness and not become proud. If we don't become proud, we'll do more and more. Problem is, as soon as we get a little success, we start becoming proud, and that's the end of that. And Judd Bart is a good example, because he knows who he is. He's not thinking in relation to this body. Become proud, it's relation to the body. Even the subtle body. You know, the mind, it could be. Okay, anyway, it's time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.